Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O-Rock. So I feel like this month is just us being terrible at video games and just being old people that don't know how things work. Because we're trying to record this podcast through Discord, and I think it might work. Is it working?
You know, we're going to find out in roughly an hour
the hard
or
way.
So how well it works.
Yeah.
I mean, we did already have to get assistance from the one other person on our Discord to figure out how to turn microphones on. So I do have some doubts about how this is going to work.
In my defense, my computer thinks I have three microphones set up right now, actually.
Yeah.
So when I clicked on the thing, it said, "You've got three microphones." I'm like, "No, I've only got one headset." Pretty sure it's just the one.
My computer constantly thinks that one of my monitors is a microphone, and that's the default microphone I want to use.
Does your monitor have speakers attached to it, or no?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, not, like, visible. I don't know. If it does, I never want to use them for that purpose.
So both of my notes I have for playing games, the games I played this past month, are also just old people complaining notes. So I tried out this game called Minecraft.
Minecraft, I've heard of that, yeah.
I don't understand the point of the game. This is probably a weird way to describe it. It feels like it's just doing pixel art in 3D. So I tried explaining to my stepdaughter I don't understand the point of Minecraft, and she didn't understand like the point of my complaints. So, like, how do you get to the end of the game? What's the end of the game? What's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish in that game, is my question.
I think you should ask your stepdaughter and not me. I only played the game once while it was, like, in its original beta, like, way back in the day. And I couldn't figure out what any of the buttons do or what my goal was or what my purpose in life was or anything like that. I had absolutely no idea. It didn't make any sense to me.
I know there are characters wandering around, but you can't talk to the characters. So, yeah.
Are those characters actual, like, other real people or NPCs?
I think they're NPCs, but they don't talk to you. One of them was a salesman, and that one was able to talk.
Okay.
It didn't really talk, it was just you clicked on the salesman, and then a little shop came up.
Well, I know there's green little monsters that run around, too, because I've seen stuffed animals of them.
Oh, yeah, I got killed by one of those.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I got killed by the gray monster, too, so that was fun. I was told the gray monster wouldn't attack you, it's just there to protect the village, but it attacked me and killed me, so... Yeah.
How many mines did you go into, would you say?
I would say there are zero mines in the game. I didn't find any.
No mines,
but
okay.
But I was able to craft a crafting table, so that's
okay.
Something.
So wait, you crafted a thing that lets you craft.
Yeah, that was basically, I got told I needed to craft a thing to let me craft, because I needed that to craft some sort of item that the people in the live stream audience thought I really, really needed.
Oh gosh, you were playing this on a live stream.
Oh yeah. No, this.
Your fans must have been absolutely furious about your non-understanding of Minecraft.
The crafting is really difficult. I wouldn't say difficult. The game just needs a tutorial. That's the problem. So, what I get from Minecraft is that you're just supposed to build a house, and it's supposed to look fancy, and then you show it off to your friends and say, look at my fancy house. I guess it's sort of like The Sims, without characters.
I was going to say, isn't that Animal Crossing, just without the crushing debt?
I would say it does sound an awful lot like Animal Crossing. In fact, that was sort of what came to my mind, Animal Crossing or Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
But
without anyone to marry. There's no marrying.
There's no marrying and there's no Tom Nook wanting all your money, so I don't know why you'd want to play that game. But no, you can build three-dimensional houses, I suppose, as opposed to just buying a bunch of pre-made houses. I don't know.
I'm really glad that we're starting off the podcast by making everyone really upset at us. I feel like that's a good start.
My other note for things that confused me with video games was I played Pokemon Sword, and I don't think you've ever played any Pokemon, have you?
I played either Pokemon Red or Blue. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, I think they're the same.
Like Gen 1.
Yeah, well, this is Gen 7, so, well.
Yeah. So there's probably, are you saying there's been a few changes since I would have last partaken in the series?
I think there have been a few changes. I don't know how many changes there are, because, like you, I played Gen 1, and skipping straight from Gen 1 to Gen 7 was not really that difficult, to be honest. But, well, one of the improvements is that, in Gen 1, your Pokemon can only have, like, 4 different moves at once. I guess because the game didn't have enough memory. So, in this one, your Pokemon can only have 4 different moves at once.
Okay.
But, okay, so it's a... but here's how they upgraded it. It's the exact same. But you can switch them out. You can switch out the 4 moves rather than being stuck with the same 4 moves forever. So if you've decided to get rid of a move and later decide you want to get it back, that's possible now.
Yeah. So I guess, it sounds like we both agree that Minecraft is boring and Pokemon hasn't done anything interesting since Gen 1. Would you agree that that's sort of the Oarok stance?
I'm not going to say that for Pokemon, because I saw a review. Apparently they did some new things, and then they just got rid of some of those new things. So I don't know if that explanation makes sense, but they try to do something new every generation, and then so anything that's new just dies out every second or third generation. Nothing really sticks around for that long.
Well, I know that they got rid of Missing No for the newer games, which is the main thing I remember about the original, so I'm guessing that means they only have 150 Pokemon now, not 151.
They changed the Pokemon that you can get, yeah.
Just seems like it's not even worth playing.
So my main complaint was the Pokemon types, which is just sort of impossible. The game needs a tutorial for that too, because I live streamed that, and I had a couple of Pokemon fans in the chat, and then they would just get mad at me. They're like, "Oh my gosh, why would you send out a water type against this thunder type? What are you? How bad are you at this game?" I'm like, how am I supposed to... Wise? Huh?
Yeah, see, this is the problem with streaming games that other people know things about.
I know, right? So that was generally what happened with every, like, boss battle, is I'd have to, play through the boss battle a couple of times just to figure out what the boss's strengths or weaknesses are, because I don't have all the Pokemon types memorized. There's like a chart you can print out, but it's super huge. So I didn't.
I think, I don't know, from what I'm gathering here, I think you should try Fortnite next. I think that would go pretty well.
Oh, that sounds pretty awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that's what all the kids are into now.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Do all the kids say that, you know, when you say you make games? They're like, oh, like Minecraft? Or do they say like Fortnite?
They don't say like Fortnite. They ask if I made Fortnite.
Oh, okay. Which is,
and a lot of their parents too. I get that. At one point, my little cousin—I forget if I mentioned this already—but my little cousin got it in his head that I invented Steam, and I did not argue with him about that.
You just want him to think you're super cool.
His dad told me that he was telling everyone, all his classmates, that his cousin invented Steam.
No.
Look, if I can be cool to a bunch of fourth graders, I'm gonna take that opportunity.
It's true, because I did the same thing, sort of. you know, I forget. I think it was more like second graders, where they're just learning about different jobs people had. So I'm like, sure, I'll fill out the little questionnaire, just like 5 minutes. And they all thought my job was super cool. And they were all surprised to learn that YouTubers make a different amount of money. Like, it changes from month to month quite a bit. So that's what really surprised them all. So I'm like, oh, I'm glad I could teach people stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. So wait, did you actually like give a little speech in front of your kids' class? Is that what this was? Or
I've done both. The one I'm talking about is you know, one of my wife's friends was just asking people to send in stuff about their jobs so she could share it to her class. But I've also done like a presentation at the local library about YouTubing.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, running a channel, what it's like. It was one of the best speeches they had all year because everything else got canceled. So
congrats.
I'm like one of the three in their series this year. And she accepts me because I lie and make my job seem glamorous, where it's like mostly get a bunch of angry teenagers yelling at me in the comments for not knowing Pokemon. It's like, that's 90% of the job. Why didn't you craft that particular mine? Oh, how did you not know ahead of time that, you know, the sword in Minecraft only has 20 uses?
I'm really upset that you didn't go into a single mine in this game.
I dug a hole in the ground. Does that work?
I don't know. I guess you made your own mine. Did you mine dirt?
Mining is basically, I think mine is whatever they call it for, I don't know. They just use it as a general term for, you pick up an item, that's considered mining. And I would consider
so
picking
it's lying.
Up items.
It's a lie. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, mining, I would consider like using, whatever you call it. You're in a mine and you're using a pickaxe to mine stuff. That's what I would consider strict mining. But they have
really
a much more broad definition.
I'm really glad we didn't make this Discord public, because there would be some people screaming at us right now.
Well, in Harvest Moon, you can go inside a mine and then mine ores, so that counts as mining.
Yeah, then why don't they call that Minecraft?
Because it's more of a farm game. I think that was something they introduced. I think the mining was introduced like in Gen 4 of Harvest Moon. I know they've got a spin-off of Harvest Moon called RuneScape, where they put more emphasis.
RuneScape is something else.
Oh, okay. Rune Factory,
the game
then.
I play it. Yeah. Because I played that one because, trying to remember, I think that's the one where you can hire a bunch of robots to do all the boring farming work for you, and you can just spend all your time trying to get girlfriends and boyfriends.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I need to check it out. We'll have to live stream that and get yelled at by everyone.
I've actually thought about streaming like off and on for the last several months. The problem is, I'm totally sure that my internet would not be able to handle it like at all. Like even this Discord call right now is kind of cutting in and out. Like if I can't watch people Twitch, which I usually can't, I'm guessing I probably cannot also host a Twitch account, which is kind of a bummer.
You can, but they
maybe
won't
someday.
Be able to see you.
Oh, that's fine. Maybe that's for the best. No, so here's what I wanted to do, though. So I've been really getting into this, I promise we'll talk about game development at some point, guys. Just stick with us.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting really into this book series called the Lone Wolf series. Which is kind of, it's like a role-playing book. Like, it's like Choose Your Own Adventure, except you also have stats and an inventory and dice rolls and things like that. So I thought it would be fun to stream just, like, reading through the book and seeing if we can get through it.
Oh, that looks actually kind of sweet, though. So it's a series of 30 game books.
Yes. Yes, there's a million of them. I'm on the fifth one right now.
They made a couple of video games too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually a lot of fun. I've tried a few different series of game books. Like I played played a few of the Fighting Fantasy, which is like the really popular one, the Fighting Fantasy story series. But that one was way too hard, and I just died all the time. So I switched over to Lone Wolf, which I, you know, don't have to feel bad about dying in a book. I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it would be really interesting, kind of unique thing to stream where, like I was saying before, no one watching this would have read or played this, most likely, so no one can make fun of me for being bad at it.
It sounds good. Maybe yeah, you should check I mean, it
out. Yeah.
It's weird that I don't really like choose your own adventure books.
Really?
Considering
really?
That the games I make are sort of like choose your own adventure yeah. style. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Choose your own adventure is okay, I suppose.
I mean, yeah. That's actually how I explain the games that we make to people who don't really play video games. I say they're like choose your own adventure books, but video games. So it's funny that you wouldn't actually like the actual books that much.
I don't know. I only read one or two, but it seemed like
yeah.
it all just, what do you call it? It seemed like there was only one pathway and then everything else was just, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
In which case, I'm like, just write the main storyline normal. I'll be okay with that. Trust me.
That was the problem I had with the Fighting Fantasy books, too, is that it just seemed like no matter what I did, like, there was a very specific path they expected me to follow, and if I didn't happen to go to this one building and get this one item 100, you know, pages, sections, chapters ago, then I was just gonna die no matter what I did from there on out, and I did not enjoy that. The Lone Wolf series I find to be much more fair. I haven't really died that much at all in those. Especially in, I think it was the second book when I got a mega powerful sword that adds 10 to my attack, and now I'm totally unstoppable, which is good.
It's interesting, because, I don't know, obviously Cat Present is more like a kinetic novel than a choose-your-own-adventure.
But, yeah, yeah.
There are no stats in Cat President. I don't know why.
Oh, can we do stats in our next game? I've actually been wanting to do, like, stats and dice rolls and stuff like that in a game. I just never... Maybe a future game we can figure that out.
I know I figured out how to do that for the Fire Emblem-style game, but I never actually, like, tested it out or anything.
Right.
What game would we make that involves stats, though? Because that's always been a problem of mine with the... especially with the choice of games thing, it's like, what do I put on the stats page? It's like, well, the games automatically come with a stats page, but if you're not doing an RPG, it feels like the stats page is unnecessary.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, thinking about something like the Moms game, which is kind of coming up on our radar, like, we obviously wouldn't be able to do the standard attack, defense, you know, dexterity, stuff like that you'd see in D&D. But maybe stuff like charisma, something about like how suave you are in talking to people, awkwardness, stuff like that. Or maybe even like something that isn't dexterity, but is sort of similar, than like clumsiness, something like that. Like that could work into it.
All right, dexterity means like you move well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be referred to, like, if you're carrying a baby, and then you fail your dex roll, then you drop the baby.
Oh, jeez.
Stuff like that.
The poor baby.
Maybe not that exact idea, then. But those along those lines, like, more, like, social kind of stats than ones that deal much more explicitly, like, to fighting than you would normally see in a game that uses statistics like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
But then I feel like, too, like, with the way we've been doing our visual novels, where it's, like, you know, two decisions per chapter, the decisions just kind of control where the conversation goes for, like, five or six lines, but then they converge, reconverge again for the rest of the chapter. That's a fairly straightforward way of doing branching dialogue. I wonder, adding stuff like that, too, I wonder how much more... how much more work that would create in terms of writing for the game. Maybe we'd have to make the game shorter in order to accommodate something like that, so that it doesn't get too out of control.
Yeah.
Maybe it makes more sense for a shorter game if there's a shorter game we're working on. Like Pizza Boy, maybe we could have done it for that.
Yeah, that's something I had a note about was I read a mystery where there are like 7 characters, and at the end of each part, somebody gets killed. And I just thought that would be really cool to do that in a murder mystery, where it's like at the end of the chapter, you determine which character gets killed.
Are you like the murderer?
No, but I mean, like, you, the player, decides what dead body do you come across, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Wow. So, yeah, you're like, and I turned the corner, and I stopped, and I dropped the baby I was carrying, and just stared at the corpse. And the face on the corpse was ... and then you choose
choose from the list.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's kind of interesting. I'm kind of into that.
I thought it would be cool, but it also involved like an insane amount of writing.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you have to account for which characters are still alive and which ones are dead for each chapter after that. It would get really complicated.
Yeah, so, but that's something I see in mystery novels occasionally, is that, you know, heroes figured out who the murderer is, and they're about to capture, you know, the murderer, when they find the murderer's just been killed by somebody else, and, you know, so the mystery is all wrapped up, but then we've got another dead body, we've got to keep going with the mystery.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I did a similar trick in the Caladia pathway, the Kidnap Prom Queen, where the players got to pick who the first victim is. There's like a group of 3 people. You got to choose who's the one behind the door. Although I didn't tell the player in advance, oh, by the way, this person's going to be killed. But I did like sort of a sneaky writing trick to get around that problem of doing a ton of writing, which is that the second victim is automatically picked by the game. So poor Mr. Smothers gets killed in that pathway no matter what. So if you don't choose him first, then he's going to be the second person that the computer picks for you.
Right.
And that way I know Smothers is never going to be there ever.
Right.
And I think it's Elena who gets, like, attacked shortly at the start of chapter 3 if she survives. And then she gets taken out. So that was sort of how I did it.
Yeah, I guess that's how you do it, right, is that you just... You don't have all 7 or whatever characters as an option for who the dead person is. You limit it to only a couple of characters. And then you don't have to end up writing as much.
My last note on game development. So you wrote something, or you posted something about placeholder names, specifically with Test Game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the placeholder title for The Beard in the Mirror, yeah.
And you still think of it as Test Game after a million years.
Of course. Yeah.
That makes me a little worried, because, some of the characters... I don't know how many placeholder character names made their way into the final version of Cat President and stuff like that, but I'm feeling maybe a lot. Francie Drew, specifically, her best friend Katie, that's just my wife's name. But,
yeah, Clorinda in Francie, yeah, and then the first Francie Drew game was Beth the Bride for a very, very long time before we changed it to Clorinda. I believe she's still referred to as Beth in the code, or B, or something like that.
We did not change George the Groom, did we? He's still George the Groom, although he's not referred to as such. He's just called George the Groom.
That's true.
Actually, for the mom's game, I think half of them are all... They're all placeholder names, and now that I've written, like, all their pathways, I don't know if those are still going to be placeholder names or not.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what these placeholder names refer to, so they'll be totally fine with it. Brittany Masters, nobody knows what that is. Laura Tate, nobody knows what that is either. Nancy Hardy, though.
I think that's Nancy Drew
and her husband Frank.
Yeah.
I actually, her husband is Frank in the actual book, so I mean, in the mom's game. We're going to have to change it, because I don't think we can have a Frank Hardy in this game without maybe being sued,
I feel like some people might take issue with that, yeah.
See, they're just names from, like, an obscure romance series. I just switched around, so it's Brittany Tate and Nikki Masters. Those are the two main characters. So that's where I got Brittany Masters and Laura Tate from.
Sure. Laura Tate actually sounds familiar. Is that also in, like, a TV show?
I have no idea. I should look it up.
No, I guess not. The last name Tate appears in something, I think. Maybe I'm thinking of Sharon Tate, who was murdered by Charles Manson. No, that's probably not it.
I also got Rosa King, which I think should be changed.
There we go, from the TV show Soap. That's what I know the Tates from. I think that's the main family in Soap. It's a sitcom from, like, late 70s, early 80s that would be right in your wheelhouse. It was a parody of soap operas.
Oh, boy.
It was actually pretty funny. I watched, it used to be on, like, right before I'd go to bed, like 10 years ago, not when it was airing originally. Billy Crystal's in it. It's one of his first roles.
Okay, let's see. They have DVDs of Soap. Yes, they do. Season 1, Season 2, Season 4. Oh, wow, I'll have to get this. The Tates and the Campbells.
I think I recommend it. It was funny when I watched it before. I never watched the whole thing. Actually, it would be like, I'd be just catching the second half of an episode and then the first half of the next episode. So my knowledge of the storyline is a little fractured.
So what should we change this guy's name to so he's not Frank Hardy? He's a minor enough character I can easily just do the whole copy-replace thing. Get rid of it right now.
Let's see. All right. I can open up my document of silly names. I don't know if you want a silly name for him, though.
Well, I think we could keep the last name Hardy. He's a detective. Hardy. And he shows up in this one pathway to be he's a helpful guy. Helps
I think
capture
that's where,
culprit.
Muggsy Hoogerworth came from in Pizza Boy was my silly name document. All right, you need a first name. Let's see what I got.
First name. This guy's supposed to be a somewhat serious detective and such.
All right, so
he's intimidating when he first appears.
I have the first name Toast. I don't know why that's on my list. I guess I saw someone named Toast, but that seems sort of unlikely. I also have written down Esophagus, or Gus for short, which makes me laugh quite a bit. I'm not sure this list is going to help you very much.
Gus Hardy? That works.
No, but it only works if it's short for esophagus.
Oh, no.
Actually, should we even use Hardy? I feel like everyone's going to immediately know why we did that. I feel like we've used Hardy before, have we not?
I don't think so, have we?
Oh, maybe Harvey. I guess we've referred to the Harveys before.
Yeah, Harvey Brothers is what I call it in stay-at-home detective. And I haven't written the pathway with Nancy Hardy yet. I know it's supposed to be like a mystery romance, but I haven't read it. Miss Hardy, you're right. Miss Hardy is the name of the character my wife plays. That's it.
I knew it. All right, so I'm looking at an online name generator. Okay, so I have male, the species is human. I can already tell this is going to be a good one. All right, and what type of character? Is this character a great leader? Are they poetic? Are they virtuous? Or are they evil? It has to be one of those four categories.
This is going to be a great leader.
Great leader. Do you have an idea of what year they were born?
I'll check. I'll see how old his kid is. His kid is 8 years old, so he's married with an 8-year-old kid. Does that help us figure out how old he is?
Yeah, I was born in 1985. I could probably have an 8-year-old. Maybe we should make a little older than that, like 82? Something like that.
Okay.
All right. What is there? Are they American? Is that their nationality?
Yes.
And what about is his parents? Are they also American?
I haven't gone into this.
Look,
yeah, I think
this,
so.
You have to know this if you're going to name this character. It's very important. What's his religious background?
he's the. This is not a very important character. He's just.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the options is Jedi, if that helps.
He can be a Jedi then.
Maybe. All right, I'm just going to say does not matter. All right. Last two options. Do you want him to have a very popular name, a not popular name, somewhere in between for both his first name and his last name?
Let's go with somewhere in between.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. We're going to get some good options. All right. Okay. Robert Cox, James Richardson, David Lopez, John Adams. Eric Butler, William Torres, Brian Moore. Those are some very,
Moore.
Very ordinary sounding names.
All right. Those are some ideas, I suppose.
Let's see. Can I generate some more? Give me some more. Give me 100 options.
What?
I'm going to get some.
I can't come up with 100 off the top of my name.
Greatest podcast. All right. Justin Jenkins. I'm just going to read off some of the better ones. Richard Hill. Benjamin Campbell, Aaron Gomez, Sean Cox, Kenneth Stewart, Ronald Saunders. These are some really basic names. We made this too simple.
Uh-oh.
Christopher Cunningham, Travis Knight. All right. One of the options it gave me was Corey Graves, who is a wrestler in WWE right now.
Well, I think we figured out where Corey got his name from.
Yeah. It's not impossible. Oh my gosh. These are so boring. Donald Stewart. Come on, I even said it to give me weirder names. Ada Greenwood. Augusta James. How about Augusta James?
Augusta James. Okay. Got that written down.
I told it to give me the weirdest names it could, and it gives me Gary Evans. How about Abner Hayes? Adolfo Parsons. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, I can't do this anymore. What are we doing?
We're trying to figure out placeholder names. What do we do with those?
There we go.
I not just like character placeholder names, but is there an actual name we could have for the Moms game besides just the Moms game?
You can't just call it the Moms game? Oh, gosh. I still haven't, like, looked at the script all that much.
We still haven't figured out. Yeah, you gave it a thumbs up forever ago, and then that was it.
Yeah. But then, yeah, I have trouble concentrating on too many games at once. So I haven't looked at it really since, you know, probably since before we started working on Cat President 2, to be honest. So the Moms game, we can't just go with the Moms game.
I'm not sure. Is that a probably not. The name I've been using is Cotton Mom Romance, but that's
Cotton?
No, it's like the song Cotton Dad Romance. I mean, no, the song is Cotton Bad Romance. The pun is Cotton Dad Romance, but since this is a mom's game, I changed it to Cotton Mom Romance. And it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but that's the song that plays on the title screen. So,
well, good news, we're not going to be able to leave that there either.
Good.
I kind of like that, though, Cotton Mom Romance. Oh, I kind of like it, though. Oh, yeah, this is just going to be like test game. It's going to be the mom game for me for a very long time, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to be great, yeah.
It's like, too, I feel like Internet Court and Cat President, those were both just kind of what we were calling the games while we were still brainstorming names. And with both of those, we just kind of eventually circled back and decided those were just the best names for us, like, those are the names we really wanted to go with. Mom game probably is not going to be the final name we go with.
Yeah.
In this case.
I feel like Cat Present is a very, very good name, and so is Internet Court.
It is.
But yeah. Mom Game is just, no, that's like Goose Game.
but that's a very bad example, because everyone really likes that name.
Well, it's Untitled Goose Game. That's what makes it a good, good title.
Yeah.
But we can't call it, like, Untitled Mom Game.
Untitled Mom Game, no. How about Momcraft?
Yes.
That's probably already a thing. That's probably like a weird dating site or something.
Yeah, it's probably... Yeah, you're right.
Oh, hey. Momcraft is a private Minecraft server where parents can learn the basics of the game in a friendly, low-risk community of gamers and novices alike. You should sign up for Momcraft.
I'm not a mom, though. I can't... I don't think they'd let me.
It says parents. It says where parents can learn.
I guess that could work, yeah.
Started playing Minecraft because I wanted to understand why my kids were so fascinated by it.
You know, I can't always figure out what the the kids are into nowadays.
Yeah, what the youths are doing, yeah.
No, I mean, apparently I'm just way more into what the kids are into nowadays than my wife is, so it's good, so...
Oh, okay.
I forget what basic term, but you're on Twitter, so you probably saw, like, this summer.
Yes.
It was trending everywhere. It's like, it would have somebody's name, and then is canceled, that would be the trending hashtag.
Oh, of course. Yes, yes, yes.
So I used the word canceled in front of my wife, and she had no idea what I was talking about.
Oh, she's not on Twitter all day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, but that shows up like every 3 days. It's like, Mom's Game is canceled.
Yeah. Well, it's a big thing in politics now, too, right? Everyone's talking about cancel culture. It's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah. I don't think we have that in Cat President 2, and I think I'm actually...
No.
Good for that. I'm glad about that.
Nothing about Frisky getting canceled, yeah.
I don't know if we did anything like that. Yeah.
No, we really didn't.
I think Frisky had been canceled in the game, but nobody like specifically said that.
No. I mean, Frisky certainly deserves to have been canceled. Yeah, that's actually someone was asking me on Twitter about this a little while ago about like the character of Frisky and the game in general. Maybe we can talk about this for a couple minutes you know, the ways that culture has evolved in the last 4 or so years. Is there anything differently we would have done with that character or with Cat President 1 in general? Anything different we would have done if we were making that game for the first time today, as opposed to, like, 2015, 2016?
Gosh, I don't know, because it'd be really hard for me to answer that question without knowing... I'd say the first game, like, influenced the development of the second game so much that it's kind of hard to divorce myself from the idea of, like, well, what if I was starting afresh? Well, if I was starting afresh, I'd probably have to start it like I did with Cat President 1, which is basically come up with personalities which match the various people running for president, which we didn't do so much in this game. I don't think we really had, like, a big one-on-one ratio between, you know, presidential candidates and the characters in the game. Whereas, you know, with the first game, everybody's like, oh, this one's obviously Ted Cruz. This one's obviously Donald Trump. This one's obviously so-and-so. But this time, I don't feel like people would be able to point and say, oh, well, Poopsie the Ninth is obviously... I don't even know who would be Poopsie the Ninth.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're still going to get it. Like, I think people are going to say Earl Grey is Joe Biden, for example, or some of this, or like insert random extremely old candidate here. Like,
yeah,
I don't think
he actually
is anything like Joe Biden, but I think people are still going to say that, like, you know, he's old. They're clearly making a comment about Joe Biden, which is not really what we're going for. It's just more the fact that so many politicians are 150 years old right now. Prominent politicians.
I feel like, yeah, that's something we probably could have done or should have done. I don't know. We'll see what the testers say, but there's definitely an opportunity for us to slip in a bunch of Joe Biden jokes. I just can't think of any real, like, Joe Biden jokes. because half of the campaign has been canceled, basically because of the stupid coronavirus, basically when he clinched the nomination was at the same time that happened. We didn't get to have a whole bunch of Joe Biden on the campaign trail. So that leaves us with less material to work with in terms of the people that were running for president.
For example, I bet, though, we could have, like, come up with a reason to stick Earl Grey in his basement and have him stay in the basement for a month and a half, something like that, since that's what people say Joe Biden's doing right now.
Oh my gosh, that's totally what we should do. Change one of his campaign headquarters to, like, his basement.
To a basement. Oh, no. Well, that's what I was just about to say, though, is that I kind of like how, and certainly in comparison to the first game, but I like how we're just sort of lampooning more general things about politics, like general trends and stuff like that, instead of going after specific candidates. I think I enjoy that a little better, and it makes the game a little more timeless than to have a character that's clearly supposed to be Marco Rubio or whatever.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it also let us write the game way sooner. Way more in advance.
That's true, so too, yeah.
That helps a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, isn't it Mr. Biscuits who's, like, camping in a tent in his garage?
That's true, yeah.
So we can't have, we can't use the basement joke. We have something that's way too similar to it.
Yeah.
And it is just hilarious.
This is what happens, Michael, when you don't define in the script where a scene is supposed to take place. That's how we end up at, okay, they're camping in a tent somewhere. All right, this scene takes place at an indoors glow-in-the-dark mini-golf, because Michael didn't say where it's supposed to be, so this is what I'm doing now.
No, oh gosh. So I didn't say in the script that it was supposed to be a tent in the garage. Because my kids did camping in a tent in the garage in real life, because all the summer campouts were canceled this year.
Oh, you should have taken a picture. I could have used that instead of the Photoshop that I put together.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, we still got the tent, but we took it down because it takes up way too much room.
The picture, I like what I came up with anyway, because it's supposed to be like his campaign headquarters, so I think you can't really see it in the picture, but there's, like, a table and chairs set up inside the tent.
Yeah, you can kind of see
it. So I think it's pretty, yeah. Yeah. I know, I actually really like, and it let me play with, I guess, layers in a way that I haven't really played with before, because you see the characters actually, like, kind of behind the tent flap inside the tent a little bit, which I think is kind of a unique perspective compared to other scenes in the game. Something I should probably try to play
so
with
you did
more.
That,
I think it looks pretty cool.
Did you do that with layers in RenPy or in Photoshop?
No, I think it's all just Photoshop.
Okay.
I think the ones where they're behind the tent flap, I think I just put the whole image together in Photoshop and put that into Cat President instead of having separate background and character images. So you can't, like, really move the characters around very easily or anything like that with that kind of scene. Same thing for, there's a scene in Earl Grey's office where they have gigantic piles of mail, and there's a scene where he's kind of standing behind the piles of mail. I think that's the same thing, or it's just that's what that background was. Because I don't really know. I guess it should be possible to do layers like that.
Oh, it's 100% possible. They've got all sorts of layer things. Why I asked. I never bothered to learn the layers, but layered images. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing. They can probably do something like a thing with four layers, and then you can mess with whichever layer you want. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe layering in general is something I should be playing with more, because, like I said, anything I can do to make a scene look a little bit different, to add some movement to a scene, is almost always a good thing, especially for these types of games where it's frequently just you talking to a cat for several screens or several minutes on end. Anything I can do to shake things up.
I was also going to mention Kaleidoscope. So that's, I'm not sure if that's a character we would have come up with if we knew how the election was going to go. Cause
he's the celebrity cat character. Because when we started writing the game, we were sure that there was going to be some major celebrity, I guess, besides Donald Trump, running for president.
Yeah, yeah, like some movie star or a TV star or something, because there are several that had hinted it.
Yeah, I was around when there were rumors of, like, The Rock and Oprah running, I believe. So we were like, okay, we gotta have a celebrity character, because that's totally happening, and it totally did not happen.
It did not. I guess, I was gonna say Mike Bloomberg, but I don't know anything about that.
No. If Mike Bloomberg is the closest thing you got to a celebrity, you don't got a celebrity. Speaking of Cat President 2, I guess we're running a little short here, but I wanted to give the quick update that it's all done, basically. We're at the testing phase right now. All the pathways are totally finished. The interface is finished. Most of the annoying stuff I was complaining about last month is all finished. The game is currently with our testers as of this recording. Feedback is starting to trickle in. Guess what, Michael? We missed a whole bunch of typos in the game, if you can believe
it. No, what?
So many typos still.
I hate the typos. Yeah, I need to get I really need to get the software that stops typos when I'm writing, but...
Yeah. I mean, I wish we had more time, because that's something to talk about, is how I was learning that a lot of, like, books and big publications, they usually have an editor who's focused on content and then one who's specifically focused on typos and like spelling mistakes and stuff like that, because it's sort of difficult to focus on both of those things at once. And I think that's just what keeps happening to us. We're too focused on the content when we're revising the script that we miss a lot of the small stuff. But thankfully our testers have been pretty diligent about catching all of that. Well, I guess maybe not all of that, but I guess we're going to find out. But anyway, yeah, testers are very into the game so far. I haven't heard too much negative, except one person who said that he thought the human cat romance was weird.
Oh, no.
But you know what? That's fair. Other than that, it's been very, very positive. So yeah, I need to process all the tester feedback. I need to do the credits sequence, and I need to do the achievements. And thankfully, Michael was able to brainstorm a whole ton of achievement ideas for me. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. It took forever, but I'm
bet
sure
it
you
did.
Could tell.
Yeah. I bet it did. It seems like you went like very, very thoroughly through all of the scripts or all the pathways to come up with ideas.
I basically tried to do the way that some games do, is an achievement just for reaching a certain part of the game. So I tried to come up with like an achievement for every 2 to 3 chapters. So it's like, okay, here's something that happened in this chapter. You get an achievement. You went camping in a tent. That's your achievement, camper guy. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's good. That saves me a lot of trouble. So I appreciate that. And the big thing that I'll be probably working on this week is getting the Steam store page all set up, too. And I'm going to set that live as soon as I can, not for purchasing, just for like so you can add the game to your wish list and stuff like that. But I want to get that up soon, because I remember that being helpful. I think it was for Pizza Boy. I had it up like a month early and was able to get a little buzz going before the release.
Yeah. Because I have to imagine there are a lot of people that played the first Cat President and have no idea there's a second one because they're not following us on Twitter.
Which I think that was another thing I was going to do too, is try to figure out how to like send an announcement over the Cat President 1 Steam page, something like that, to be like, hey, there's a new one coming out, get ready. You can tell I'm really good at at PR.
Prepare yourselves for electoral I don't know.
Get ready to vote with your heart, not with your brain. Cat President 2 is almost here.
Don't vote with your brain. I feel like a terrible message to send to everyone.
Yes, especially in 2020, huh? Oh, man, I really do like the... So we have... Oh, that's the other thing, too, is that Michael and I were working on the trailer, too. Michael came up with a great script for it, and he had the idea, too, Since neither of us really like making trailers, he had the idea to just kind of do it all in RenPy, like to make like just basically a mini scene in RenPy that was the trailer, and then record that. And so we got that ready to go. I really like that the game ends with the line, because wouldn't things be better if humans weren't in charge? I think that really kind of speaks to this political moment that we're in right now. Hopefully that strikes a chord with some people.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just wonder how many people actually watched the Steam trailer, because I don't know. I checked, I think YouTube, because I checked the first trailer as a reference, and I don't think it has as many views. I think more people bought the game than saw the trailer.
True. I'm gonna have to remind myself when I'm setting up the Steam page. I don't know if Steam links to the YouTube trailer, or if I actually upload a new version of the trailer to Steam.
That would probably explain it. Yeah, that's probably it then.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. And I've been trying to look up stuff too about like best practices for building your Steam page. I like this one idea I read where to make sure like you put your best, flashiest, most enticing screenshots, make those like screenshots 1 and 2, because people probably might not scroll through the rest of them. So to figure out what the best screenshots are and stick them in there.
I was going to say one of the other best practices, which I tried to put into the description, was people like bulleted lists, apparently.
Yes.
And they also like a declarative sentence. No, that's not it. Anyway, it's like, be the campaign manager.
Yes.
Do this. Shave your cat's head. You know, makes
Wait,
it seem like you're doing stuff.
Wait a minute. I don't remember that scene.
That's not in the game, I don't think, but
save that for
apparently,
the prequel.
You know, that's more, people are more likely to buy a game if you put it in that way, as opposed to this is a game where you're a campaign manager and you can shave a cat's head. apparently starting a sentence with a verb is, that's what makes those impulse buyers just jump off the fence and buy your game.
Okay, cool. I don't think I knew that. See, this is why you're the head writer.
Well, like I said, I just took it from the list of helpful hints. I don't know if that's actually it, but choice of games definitely follows that particular set of rules for writing their press releases. It's like you've got to have a bulleted list.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, we've definitely. I think we're always pretty good about bulleted lists, but I don't think I've put them in that you do this thing in this game. I don't think I've been following that best practice. So that's good to know.
Yeah, I think another practice is, you know, try to get people to visualize. You know, people are especially like visual learners and whatnot. So if you've got a description which is very visual, people like that.
Well, we'll see how it all works out. And yeah, then the other thing too is all the capsule images, the stuff we've always complained about in here. I was reading an article that kind of showed me how these different images are actually used in context, and some ideas of how to make them jump out. Like they were saying stuff like, don't make the background too dark, because it'll blend in with Steam's background, stuff like that. And putting like, they said putting people or putting characters in the image is usually a good idea, because it's sort of more enticing. I was going to see if, I mean, I might use characters from the game. I could also use, the image we did end up commissioning, art from our friend. We were talking about this last month, a cat for the title screen. So I could use that cat in the capsule images as well. Some nice unique art there.
Yep, that's true. With YouTube, apparently, if your YouTube thumbnail has a picture of a person, that's generally considered good practice. People are more likely to click on it.
Cool.
That seems to be the case. I mean, I wouldn't say 100% that's always what happens, but so I generally go with that as a rule of thumb. You know, if I get a choice between, here's a character talking, and then here's just the background of a screen, I generally go with the character.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did that with when I upload, because I have already uploaded the Cat President 2 trailer onto YouTube by now. I think I used an image of DJ Nibbles in the Oval Office.
Yeah, as opposed to just the blank the black screen.
Yeah, or just like the part where it says the text "Cat President 2 Political Revolution." That was one of the images that it was suggesting for a thumbnail, but I did not use that one.
Well, I think we're just rambling. Is there any listener mail?
We do have one listener question, and yeah, we are definitely going long at this point, so we'll try to make it short. It actually kind of relates a little bit to what we were talking about before. Joe Reviewer asks, what's the biggest difference between when you were working on older games versus newer ones? Specifically, like Cat President 1 versus Cat President 2. And I think, for me, the biggest difference in our development approaches between the two games, I'm sure talked about this before, but we spent a lot more time on the script for Cat 2 than we did for Cat 1. If I recall correctly, when we were working on Cat President 1, like, Michael would send me the script, and I would, like, already just be coding it in RenPy. Like, I would be reading it for the first time and making small tweaks as I went along while I was coding it. And with Cat President 2, it was more like Michael would send me the script, I would read it quite thoroughly, you know, offer any suggestions or thoughts, and we would be going back and forth many, many times before we got even near the coding process. It was several months, I think, that we were working on the script this time.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So that's what I would say is the biggest difference. Do you have any other things? Or just how your development style has evolved over the years?
I don't have any time anymore. Got no free time, so yeah, I don't know. I still feel like I'm still learning and figuring out how to do puzzles or anything that's not just basic text in RenPy. That's what made Cat President. I mean, Cat President's really nice that I don't have to worry. I don't have to try to make a bunch of puzzles or anything, but I feel limited. I don't know.
Does that mean Mom Game has a bunch of puzzles in it?
Even with Mom's Game, no, I was saying it's like, oh, well, it's going to have something with the character's outfit, but then I realized it's like, we can't possibly do that. Because we'd probably have to get models to, like, wear certain outfits. That wouldn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, remember the trouble we ran into with Pizza Boy, trying to decide if we were comfortable asking a model to dress in a skimpy outfit for one of the characters, and we decided no, we were not comfortable asking that, and then the character no longer wore a skimpy outfit.
Yeah.
All right, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Michael, is there anything that you would like to add?
I can't think of anything.
Michael's tired.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, bye everybody.
Yeah. Bye.
I also do a lot of reaching
Oh, go ahead.
You go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember,
I was going to say...
I remember... No! told you there's lag.